Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Non shakartata rubyasha, kripa sindubhya evacha, patitanam pavanibhyo, vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, I feel very honored to be amongst you. And I don't deserve actually to sit in front of you. I know all of you are so so great scholars and so good speakers, and I'm not a public speaker, but by your blessing, I will try to share a few words with you to glorify Srila Prabhupada. And actually coming to Alad Shwab, I knew I was coming to a treasure house of devotion, full of legendary sons and daughters of Srila Prabhupada. So I'm really, really happy to be amongst you. So for this little presentation, I was thinking to take you back in time and space in England, very, very long time ago, and the young generation was born at this time, and to share with you how I met Srila Prabhupada. So after Srila Prabhupada established centers in America, he actually thought of sending some devotees to London, because in Srila Prabhupada's time, it was still the Victorian period when Queen Victoria and the British were ruling actually the world. There was a saying that the sun will never set on the British Empire. So when Prabhupada was quite young and when he got the mission from his Guru Maharaj, he was thinking of coming to the English speaking world. And before that, actually, some of his godbrothers had already come to London, and they were not very successful. They didn't touch the youth. So Prabhupada first came to America, because the whole world was looking towards America, towards the American way of life. And he thought, actually, the American youth is taking to Krishna consciousness, the whole world will follow. But when the temples were established in America, he thought of England. And then he asked some wonderful devotees, the three legendary couples, to actually take up this mission. So we all know about these wonderful devotees. It was our dear Yamuna Devi and Gurudas, Shyama Sundar and Malati, and Mukunda and Janaki. So they took up the mission with their full heart. And one thing to come to London, they had to have some money to enter the country. But devotees at that time didn't have much money. So there was just some amount of money, and they reached Amsterdam in Holland. And then the first couple took the money and went to London. After that, they sent the money by post to the second couple and so on. The three couples came to England, to London. So to make a long story short, we have to remember, and many of you have known actually these wonderful devotees, and by Krishna's grace, some of them are still alive and probably come and speak to you. But we have to say that they were extremely bright, creative, and with them, Krishna consciousness was an adventure. It was never boring. It was not a duty you had to do, but it was an adventure at every minute. So Shyama Sundar Prabhu had many, many ideas. And one of his first ideas to preach, to spread Krishna consciousness in England, was to approach the Beatles, as you know. But Shyama Sundar didn't know that at that time, Already George Harrison had been seeing the devotees in London. And later on he told him, actually, I was so surprised to see the Hari Nam many times a day. Sometimes it was scorching heat. Sometimes the rain was falling very heavily. And sometimes it was freezing snow. But every day the devotees were going out and chanting the Maha Mantra. So he thought it must be something really, really special in this Maha Mantra. And one time even he came in disguise, and he heard one kirtan, and he was becoming more and more attracted to the Maha Mantra. At that time, they didn't know really how to approach him. But Yamuna, Janaki and Malati made some beautiful cakes looking like an apple, green cakes. And they were sending that to the studio. But nothing came out of it. So Shyamasundar probably decided one day to go and to try to get into the studio, and especially to see George, who was the one who was the most interested in spiritual life. Then he came, and there were some guards, actually, in front of the door, and they wouldn't let him go. But a white limousine came in, and it was actually Yoko Ono, and she said, "Let him in. He must be one of George's friends." So he came in, and in the room upstairs, outside of the studio, so many people, famous and not famous, were waiting. So some of the Beatles came out and came in, and everybody was waiting to have a few words. And all of a sudden, George Harrison came, and then he looked at everyone, and he went straight to Shyamasundar Prabhu, and he told him, "Where have you been, you guys? I've been waiting to meet you for so long." And it was the beginning of a long life, spiritual friendship, and the beginning of his service to Srila Prabhupada. So that's how it started in London, and Srila Prabhupada came, and he stayed with the devotees at John Lennon's estate, and the deal was the devotees could live there because they didn't have a place anymore to stay in London, but they should do some work. And things were going on. But John Lennon and Yoko Ono were not fully interested in Srila Prabhupada's message. And Srila Prabhupada had the vision, actually, of what would happen to John Lennon. He told him, "You really have to stop taking drugs. It will just bring terrible things upon you." And we all know how he got killed by one of his, actually, fan who was a drug addict. So, meanwhile, things were going on. And also, George Harrison helped the devotees to rent a place near the British Museum. It was that beautiful temple called Bury Place. And Shyamasundar was building and constructing day and night, and it became a very mystical, beautiful temple. He wanted the temple to look like the Achanta cave, like a Buddhist cave, very mystical. So, meanwhile, to give you the atmosphere, I will tell you how we came in touch with that beautiful Bury Place temple, and how me and my friends, we met Srila Prabhupada there. We were actually three French girls, as you can hear, from Paris. And we were studying in a university, what is called ethnology, to know how the different people of the world, especially the ancient tribes, were worshipping God or the Absolute Truth, and were understanding what was the goal of life. So we were going to so many different courses, trying to find actually a teacher, a spiritual master. We didn't know where our spiritual master would be. Would he be between the Eskimo or the African tribe or in India? We were ready for anything because we became very disgusted with the material way of life. And we wanted to know what was the human life meant for. So we had different teachers, but we became disappointed because they were not putting into practice what they were teaching. We had one teacher teaching Taoism from old China, and we asked him, "Don't you want to know actually what you are teaching? Don't you want to practice it in a Buddhist monastery?" And he was telling, "Oh no, you know, it's just my job." So we were not satisfied. There was also a sannyasi from India teaching Vedanta. He was telling very obscure sentences like, "You are this." And then we thought, "Oh, that's so wonderful. All our life we can try to discover what is this. Meanwhile, we decided we'll go to India. And then we went to do a little job, we had no money. So it was a little student job to distribute publicity leaflets. And meanwhile, we were always reading our books on impersonalism. But in the team, there was a strange boy, a French boy who was coming from America. And he saw that we were studying all this impersonalist philosophy. And he told us, "Actually, you know, I have a spiritual master." We told him, "Really? Actually, we live to meet our spiritual master, our real spiritual master." He said, "His name is A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada." Then he said, "There is a scripture, the Bhagavad Purana. If you open it, you will be free from the cycle of birth and death." Then he told him, "Oh, we just want liberation. That's the goal of our life." And he told us about the Mahamantra. So we were chanting at home about the Mahamantra in front of a little picture of Buddha. And it worked. Lord Buddha was really merciful. And one day the devotees told us, "Why don't you come? We are having a program in Paris at the American Center. Please come and visit us." So we said, yes, it's a good opportunity to see if this Krishna consciousness movement is bona fide, if it's a bona fide tradition. So at this time, as you all know, that was the time of the end of the 60s and beginning of 70s. Young people were really looking into what they call expanding their consciousness. With chemical substances, of course, and realizing that what we could see with our gross senses was not the ultimate reality. So we decided to see if the devotees are bona fide. We will take this LSD, and then we will know if they are really bona fide. So, as I told some of my friends, we came to the program, and our eyes were wide open, like big plates. And we saw the devotees, and Krishna tricked us because they looked like angels. They were actually chanting, having a beautiful kirtan, and it was like so sublime. And I told my friends that you may know, she's the mother of Katamrita Namamrita. Her name is Jyotirmayi. So I was with her, and we talked to each other, and we said, "It's a wonderful tradition. That's really sublime." Then there was an American devotee, Umapati. He was speaking very good French. He gave a talk, and he started describing the absolute truth. You know, the origin of everything, the cause of all causes. We thought it was really great. But then he carried on and he said, actually that absolute truth, the cause of all causes, is actually a little blue village boy. He's very small, he's a village boy. And he's stealing butter, and he's feeding it to the monkeys. Sorry. We looked at each other, and we said, that process is not for us. But then, the devotees were just so nice, and we felt so attracted by the Maha Mantra that we decided to carry on chanting. And one day, they said, our spiritual master is coming, he's in London, and he's going to open a temple. And we decided to go. And that's how we went to the very place, temple. Sorry, I have a little cold. So, coming to that place, first we were stopped by the lady devotees. At that time, they were always all dressed in saris and we were dressed in civil clothes. We were young girls, 19 years old, and looking like the older young girls, attractive, and so they thought we were Maya Devi. So they said, we are going to put a sari on you and braid your hair like that. So we said, all right. But by the time they finished, we missed, actually, the installation ceremony of the wonderful deities of Shri Shri Radha Nandeshwara. So, to tell you a little bit about Shri Shri Radha Nandeshwara, the installation day, the opening day of the London Temple, but just a little while ago, the date of the opening of the temple was set, but no deities were there. One day, one devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, some very beautiful deities are there and maybe one man wants to sell them, we are not sure. Prabhupada said, let's go and see them. So he told the devotees, take a van with you. And he took some very strong devotees. So he came in, and the men, Radha Nandeshwara, were there. But they were painted, they had no dress, but they had dresses painted on them, and they really looked very beautiful. But Srila Prabhupada hardly looked at them. And then he started talking to the men, and he asking about his family, where do you come from in India? And what are your, do you have any sons, any daughters? So the man was a little surprised. He said, don't you want to see the deities, Swamiji? But Srila Prabhupada was carrying on. Later, he hardly looked at the deities. Then he said, and your sons, are they studying? Are they working? So the man started talking about his family, and he got distracted, actually. And all of a sudden, when he didn't expect it, Srila Prabhupada turned to the boys. It was probably Shama Sundar and maybe Tamal Krishna, maybe Dhananjaya or Gurudas, I don't know exactly. And then he told one of them, you take Radha, and he told the other one, you take Krishna. And they did, you know, very quickly, and they started coming out. And the man was running, but Swamiji, Swamiji. They said, it's all right, they're all right, we take them. And by strict Hindu standard, Srimati Radharani's hand was a little broken. So by strict Hindu standard, they couldn't be worshipped. that Prabhupada was beyond all these material, you know, ideas. And then he told the devotees to put them in the van, and then he said, drive. And and they drove. And then after a little while, he told them, stop. Then he came out of the front seat, and he came at the back to see the deities. And then with tears in his eyes, he started to chant the Brahma Samhita prayers. So that was, London had found their dear deities. So that very day, they became installed to the temple. Srila Prabhupada personally asked them to come, asked Lord Krishna to come in that form. And we didn't see it, but we heard later on that at one point, the canopy in front, on top of the deities almost fell. And Prabhupada, like a young man, jumped. And he was saving the deities from being crushed. Then the young brahmacharis came. But Srila Prabhupada was protecting his lord. So, that day when we got dressed as devotees and our hair properly made, we came in that beautiful very place temple. And I have to say that not that day, but maybe a few weeks or months later, our Aditi Devidasi came also to the temple. So she remembers how beautiful it was. The carpet was dark purple, and the ceiling was curved. It was made out of red oak, probably from California, that Shamasundar had brought. And it did look very mystical. We were hardly 20 or maybe no more than 30. And with my friend who became Jyoti Amai, we just came and we heard the beautiful kirtan probably led by Yamuna Devi. Then all the devotees started to bow down. And then we didn't know why, and we never bowed down to anyone in our life. But we were very polite, and we did like everybody else. And Shepard says that the ladies are very curious, and I'm one of them. I was very curious, so I picked up my head to see what was happening. Why is everybody bowing down? And meanwhile, while doing that, I saw two beautiful golden lotus feet just passing near my head. And they were very extraordinary, very, very beautiful, an exquisite color. And I look up a little more to see to whom these beautiful golden lotus feet were belonging to. And for the first time, I saw Srila Prabhupada, you know, face to face. And as we were discussing before, a few god brothers and god sisters had the same realization. Prabhupada looked like the emperor of the world. And at the same time, he looked like the most humble person. So I was very surprised to see these very contradictory qualities present in one person. And he sat on the Vyasasan, he started to lead his beautiful kirtan with the tempo building up. And that was absolutely extraordinary. Then I could understand by looking at him when our eyes caught each other. Then this person knows me much better than I do. And it's not only from this life. This person is full of compassion for the suffering people of the world. So this is my friend at night. We talked to each other in French when nobody was listening. And the question for the following 7 days, because Srila Prabhupada stayed 7 days, was, do you think he's our spiritual master? So every day we were asking this question to each other. But we were so foolish, we came to the very place, temple, to actually test Srila Prabhupada, to see if he was, according to our condition, state of mind, if he was a bona fide spiritual master. So days were going on, and we read a lot of impersonalist books, so we were very much afraid. As it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, I think 2 days ago there was a class, 4 days ago, a class saying that people are very much afraid, especially impersonalists, of the personal form of the Lord. So we were very much afraid of the personal form. We thought a form, no matter how nice it is, if we become attached to any form, we will have to come back in this material world. But day by day, you know, we became more and more attracted. And Srila Prabhupada was answering our questions in the classes without us even asking him. So just to show you how he was with his young boys and girls. We were hardly 19. He was very affectionate and very like a father, a grandfather. For example, one day we were called into his room. He was receiving guests. And I remember he asked me, "What is your name?" And then I didn't get initiated yet. There was an initiation one day before. So I told him, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, I have no name." So his eyes became very big. He looked surprised. And then he understood. He said, "Oh, you don't like the name your parents gave you?" And then he had a smile, meaning, "Don't worry, I will give you a name you will like." And he did. I have to tell you that concerning initiation, Srila Prabhupada said during a lecture before the initiation took place, he said, initiation is the beginning of spiritual life. And then after a few days, I felt almost ready to, after 3 days, to ask for initiation. So at this time it was not like it is now. And now it's really good because it's such a serious thing. So the spiritual master has to really be sure that he's accepting, you know, very good disciples, and the disciple has to be sure he's picking up the true spiritual master he wants to serve eternally. So after 3 days, I was feeling like asking Srila Prabhupada for initiation, but I was feeling shy, and I said, "Srila Prabhupada, I would like to start spiritual life." And he had a big smile, he was laughing, and he said, "Oh, you're already doing spiritual life. You're cleaning the temple, you're washing Krishna's dishes." And I thought, "Well, I don't know if this is spiritual life." and we heard from Yamuna Devi later on that Srila Prabhupada, 1 or 2 days before, had been asking Tamal Krishna, Prabhu, who was then Brahmachari, he had been asking him, "Why don't we initiate these French girls? They are like flowers blowing in the wind." That was Prabhupada's vision of the young devotees, you know, flowers blowing in the wind for Krishna. And then Tamal Krishna Prabhu, Goswami Prabhu, who knew how impersonalist we still were, said, "Oh, Prabhupada, they are not ready." So Prabhupada said, "Okay, we'll wait a little more." And after that, I asked him, you know, to start spiritual life. So one more thing in England is that Srila Prabhupada knew whatever Krishna wanted him to know, as he told us. So he knew exactly how to attract every soul to the service of Krishna, Lord Krishna. One day we almost left because Prabhupada was giving a class describing the beauty of the Lord and all his opulences. And it was extremely beautiful. Then an Indian gentleman asked a question. Actually, it was not a question. He made a comment and he said, God has no form. The absolute truth is not a person. God has absolutely no form. And then Srila Prabhupada, let's say the man was at the back and Srila Prabhupada was on the Vyasasan here. And he became very, very, very angry, all red. And he started screaming to the man, how do you dare? You're just a fool, a rascal, an ignorant. You know? And he became red and with anger. And then when the question, the traditional evening question was coming up between both of us, my Jyotirmayi and I, do you think he's our spiritual master? Then we were very sad because we became so attached to Srila Prabhupada. But then we thought, no, he's not our spiritual master, because as we read in this impersonalist book, a spiritual master never becomes angry. He can control his anger, so we should go. But then, when we were all packed, and we didn't tell anybody, we got a message, Srila Prabhupada wants to see you. So we came upstairs, and it was not a big thing, but he was asking, you know, if we knew how to type, to help him with the books, and but he was just so charming and loving, and we just unpacked our bag and stayed. You know, like, you know. Okay. So then that week passed very quickly, and it was many more incidents like that, very mystical to us. And then time came for Srila Prabhupada to take the plane to leave, because he had fulfilled that first step in his mission in England. A temple was established. The George Harrison was really helping the devotees. Everything was going on fine. And devotees were enthusiastic, going on Harinam three times a day. So it was time for him to leave. And at that time when we went to the airport, the whole temple at that time was going to the airport. Only one or two devotees were staying back in the temple. I really realized Srila Prabhupada was my eternal spiritual master. And I decided to try to practice this process, not reading the books, because my mind was too much polluted with impersonalism, but to try the chanting, and then hopefully becoming purified with the chanting. So life was wonderful in London at the time, with these very extraordinary, legendary devotees. To give you an idea of how the temple was, the life in the temple was, the Mangalartik, only Yamuna Devi was there. Everybody else was sleeping. she was waking up very, very early, and she was the only one. So all of us got up a little later, and then we went in the temple, we were reviewing Kirtan, you know, singing to the deities, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, having breakfast, and first Harinam. So, who has been in London? Who has been? Yeah. So, you know, of course, Oxford Street. So, we were going to Oxford Street, down to Marble Arch, and back and forth. That's what George Harrison actually saw, and he was convinced from that. Then we came back to the temple, having prashadam, a little reading, and again Harinam in the afternoon. And after we came back, having a little prashadam or milk, reading again a little, and again Harinam at night, when the people were drunk. And it was extremely, extremely blissful. I don't know if you saw pictures of the London devotees at that time. We were all looking at the sky. Because actually, Tamal Krishna Prabhu and Brahmachari was in charge of the Harinam. And he would just look at all of us, and we were forbidden to look at the shops. You know, we had to be... So that's why most of us were looking up in the sky. and my friend, we were really getting absorbed in the holy name. And my friend Jyotimayi, even one or twice she fainted. So Tamal Krishna Prabhu was writing to Srila Prabhupada, "All these French girls, they are fainting in ecstasy." That was the mood in the temple, very, very, very blissful. And so we got our first initiation by letter, and Prabhupada actually told me by his smile that he will give me a name that I would love. So there were some devotees I loved all the devotees in the London temple, of course. But I loved really dear Yamuna Devi. And I was thinking, I would love to have the name of a river like Yamuna. And then there was another brother, he was really protecting us in the evening when all people were drunk. He was a little older than us, he had been in Vietnam, you know. His name at the time was Trivikram Brahmachari. And he was like a big brother. I really like him too. So I got my letter, initiation letter, and the letter was saying, my dear daughter. Then he said, "I'm really glad to accept you as my disciple. And I'm very happy that you're appreciating the bliss of Krishna consciousness. Carry on learning from the older devotees there." And then he says, "Your name is Mandakini. And Mandakini is the name of the Ganges River." So I thought, oh, I got the name of a river like Yamuna. and then he said, the Mandakini River is the Ganges on earth. And I don't know if it was in that letter, but then I discovered that when the Lord Vamana took his gigantic form as Trivikrama, he made a little hole in the universe, and the Mandakini River became the Ganges. So Prabhupada really gave me a name I liked, as he smiled promised, and I got connected by the name with two very dear devotees. I would love to tell you a story about how Prabhupada was so kind in giving names. What time should I stop, my dear? You will tell me, yeah? Because, yeah, and you will tell me if anybody has questions. it's also a French devotee who tells the story. Maybe you know her, Kishori Devi. Kishori Devi Dasi, she's a character. Listening to her, you cannot help laughing, but she had very deep relationship with Srila Prabhupada. But the story of the names is really very nice, and it illustrates the sentence that Prabhupada had when he said, "I know what Krishna wants me to know." So she was coming from Amsterdam with, another devotee from New Zealand or Australia. And she asked the devotee, "What kind of name would you like?" And the devotee said, Oh, I would like to have the name of a cow. and she asked, the devotee asked, the one who was going to become Kishori, and what name would you like to have? And then she replied, oh, I only want the name of a gopi. Then they came, and we know that the names were already chosen. It's not like Prabhupada was going to give the name just like that. It was chosen, it was written. So, Kishori, she's a very spiritual character. So she told a friend, you know what we're going to do? Prabhupada has to know the kind of names we want. So we are going to go to an Indian shop and we are going to buy all kinds of paraphernalia. I will dress like a gopi and you will get big ankle bells like a cow. now we can see, you know, like now devotees are dressing very nicely. We have nice saris, sometimes nice jewelries. But at the time, it was the ladies were dressed in a kind of austere way, and no jewelry, no makeup, no sometimes orange sari. So when they made the entrance in the temple of London to receive initiation, it was quite a scene. like Kishori was all made up like a gopi. You know, and nobody was doing that at the time. And she had gopi dots and beautiful skirt, and you know, the clothing was shining, and everybody looked at her. And the other lady was making a lot of noise while entering the temple with the big ankle band. Prabhupada looked at them, you know, and then initiation went on. Srila Prabhupada called the Australian devotee, and she made really a lot of noise. He looked again a little surprised. He asked her, what are the rules and regulations? So she said, and then he gave the beads and he said, your name is Surabhi. then it was the turn of Kishori to come. So she came and she was all really made up. She looked at Prabhupada and she did the eyes like a, you know, like a. and then Srila Prabhupada looked at her, a little surprised again. So, what are the four rules and regulations? So she said, and then he said, your name is Kishori Devidasi, the highest gopi. So Prabhupada knows what Krishna wants him to know. And Krishna and Prabhupada are always expert in fulfilling our desires when they are not detrimental for our spiritual life. So time went on. And time came for second initiation. And at the time, two services were to be fulfilled. One was to help in the kitchen. One very nice devotee called Divid Jaya. He was the cook. And the other was to help to be trained as a pujari by Yamuna Devi. Because she was alone, she was doing everything, morning to evening. Getting up at 2 o'clock and going to bed at very late. So we got our initiation by letter, and the older devotees came to us and said, okay, Jyotima is going to help Yamuna with the pujari work, and Mandakini is going to help in the kitchen. And then the poor cook, David Jaya, says, oh no, not Mandakini. Because I did not know to do anything. I did not know to cook. I did not know to sew. I was useless. I was just reading books. And I was thinking, what is Krishna going to do with me, you know? what service can I do? And then Yamuna had to take me. So that was a very extraordinary time to learn from Yamuna Devi. She, of course, many of you have known Yamuna, and she was carrying Shri Prabhupada's presence, you know, wherever she was, you could feel Srila Prabhupada. So she taught actually the simple worship, deity worship Srila Prabhupada told her. It was very much like Vrindavan worship, very, very simple. We were dressing, changing the deities only once a week, and Aditi made one outfit, I remember. And we were doing the bathing by meditation. Like in the morning, we would think that we were carrying a beautiful golden pot or silver pot and going to the Yamuna and giving a bath to the deities like that. It was very sublime and very simple. But after some time, Prabhupada wanted the first devotees to go to India. He called them his white elephants. And I think Vishakha Prabhu was there with Yadubara, yes? Yeah. So you have to tell us another time. And then he took the first devotees to India. So I stayed with Radha Nandanishwara to take care of them. As we all know, when we do a little deity worship, we think we are taking care of them, but they take care of us. You have to know that Srila Prabhupada said something about Radhananda Nishwara. He said, actually Krishna has tricked you. He didn't come as a murti, he came himself. And it's really true. It's true for all of our murtis, of course, but it was, I can witness it's true for Radhananda Nishwara. So time went by, and I think I have to stop soon, but I will just show you how prayers to the deities is very powerful. I read in one of Prabhupada's purports that if the spiritual master is asking you to do a task a little difficult, and if you say yes immediately, you will make a lot of progress in your spiritual life. So I thought it was so great. And I rushed to Radhananda Nishwara. Please, please, my dear Lord, can you help me? Can you make Srila Prabhupada ask me to do something just a little difficult? And please, please, remind me to say yes immediately. I was a young girl and I forgot about it. But meanwhile, we heard that Srila Prabhupada had gone to Russia. And I thought, he's so brave, he's behind the Iron Curtain. And we didn't know anything about it. But I thought it was so great. I felt so proud of him. Then he came back to London. He usually come very often to London. And one day, while doing a manual task for Srila Prabhupada, one devotee came and said, Mandakini, Srila Prabhupada wants to see you. Then I came up a little anxious. Maybe I did something wrong. I knocked on the door and Srila Prabhupada was sitting behind the table. Shyamasundar Prabhu was just beside him. And Prabhupada asked in a very normal voice, asking me to get some potatoes across the street, going to the grocery store. He asked, Mandakini, would you go and marry this boy in Russia and by the grace of Lord Chaitanya help to spread the mission there? And I was shocked, and all of a sudden I remembered Srila Radhananda Nishwara helped me to remember my prayer. And I said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. And he began to smile, and he said, then you arrange it, Shyamasundar. And it was the beginning of a beautiful saga, and the beginning of my love story with the Russian devotee. So, It's actually when we clap, we clap to Srila Prabhupada because he had the vision. And just in the beginning, we were not so many of us, so we were so fortunate to be there. Although I know for myself, I had no qualification. So he was so expert; he could use us, you know, to do things his spiritual master and Lord Krishna wanted him to do, like. When he first went to Moscow, he came near the tomb of Lenin, and he knew something nobody else knew, and that became true. He said that a communist system won't last more than 20 years. And actually, practically 20 years later, if we count the day, it was perestroika, it just collapsed. And he had the vision, he said the Russians are the greatest theists, and now they don't know themselves how many they are. And of course, that was the beginning of a wonderful story. And he picked up a Russian boy, his name was Anatoly, who became Anantashanti. And who actually is one of the greatest heroes during some many years. He preached widely all over Russia and also the other states of the former Soviet Union before being imprisoned in a mental psychiatric hospital. You know, so it was the beginning of the great saga. And by Krishna's grace, I was able to be a witness of that for a little while, and to testify in front of you that Krishna consciousness is never boring. And then it will be mostly in the hands of the young generation. So it's in your hands, and you have so many things to do, so many adventures to live. And also one great realization by meeting, you know, the younger generation is that Prabhupada is not only for his disciples, he's for everybody. He often says that the grandfather is even kinder than the father. He doesn't have to chastise, to instruct. But so you should never feel that Prabhupada is only for his disciples. He's for really all of you, and whatever service you're doing, he's very proud of you. So thank you very much. And I'm very honored to be amongst all of you, to become purified. Hare Krishna. Yeah, if anybody has any question, I can try, but I know Prishadam is waiting, so.
Hare Krishna, can very briefly tell us what happened in Russia? Can you tell us briefly what happened in Russia after you went?
Okay. You mean now?
No, when Prabhupada. Yeah.
When I went in the beginning?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a very, very long story, but but we will be, I know it won't be much soon, but we'll be talking about it at Pradyumna Prabhu's place on Wednesday evening. If a few of you want to come, you're most welcome. But in a nutshell, in the 70s, before persecution came, I can tell you that the devotees, especially Anantashanti in the beginning, he was the only one. He was preaching so widely, and he was very, very empowered by Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. And just to give you a few ideas about the preaching, they had no books, hardly any books in the beginning. And so he was always trying to find ways to preach. So there are a few ways he found. He had no books at the time, so he got some a bouquet of red roses, and he offered them to Krishna as prasadam. And then he dressed very nicely, and he went in the street, and he was giving red roses to the people, and telling them, please smell this beautiful flower. You will at least take birth as a human being. and then the police came and said, what are you doing? So he said, oh, you know, I'm just in love, and I want to share this love with everybody. So they let him go. He was a very bright young man, and he was trying always to find some schemes to preach Krishna consciousness. Another thing as well was he used to have maybe one or two Bhagavatam, and he used to sit in summer in a coffee outside on the table and open the books where the beautiful paintings like Pushkar Prabhu's paintings were. And people in Russia never saw so many beautiful paintings. So they came and they asked, what is it about? Then he said, sit down. And then it was okay, the police wouldn't come. He could explain. And a very funny way, we don't recommend for brahmacharis. He was quite a handsome young boy. So he would dress very, very nicely. And he would go to nightclubs, you know, where the young people were dancing, and some girls would be interested. So they would come and talk, and he would say, please come home. So they say, yes, yes. They would come home, and then he would preach, you know. And a very, very interesting thing as well. At the time, especially even now in Russia, they're very much after science, like scientific experiments and everything. So with a few other devotees he made, they established actually a scientific laboratory. And it was the government gave his agreement. And the idea, the experiment was to show the power of Indian mantra on plants, animals, and human beings. So they had a lot of plants, they had a lot of animals, and of course they had human beings, devotees, chanting Hare Krishna. So he was always trying to find ways like that. There was also fair, an international book fair in Moscow, and for the first time he got Srila Prabhupada books there. So all that was before persecution. But after persecution came, and it was another story, very glorious. Shri Prabhuji. Yes, dear. Yes.
He was the best.
Oh, yeah.
And he left all the books in the linen library. He said, do you have a gift to put in the library?
Can you say again with the mic?
I just said that we live here, but we never talk about Russia and the Soviet Union anymore, which is sad for me.
You should do that.
And my husband went to that book fair, the very first Prabhupada's books in full, you know, being at the book fair.
Yeah.
And Ananta Shanti, of course, came, and he had his little group of devotees, and they rolled like thousands and thousands of sweet balls every day.
Oh.
So everyone that came past the booth got Simply Wonderfuls And then when my husband left, he offered those books to the library, and they took them.
Actually, Kirtilaj Prabhu was very, very instrumental in Russia. He took a lot of risk. He was arrested, and you should ask him to come and speak to you about that. Yeah. Thank you. Hare Krishna. All goes to your service.
Thank you.